I'd like to bring the House Committee on Business and Labor to order, and I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1546. Jan, if you could review the bill for us really quick.
Well, Mr. Chair, committee members, this measure allows... Hold on.
If they're late, they're...
There we go.
You're late.
Thank you.
I guess it was a punishment.
Okay.
It's a lockdown.
Okay. Mr. Chair, committee members, Senate Bill 1546 allows judge members of public employees retirement system who was formerly a member of the Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan, what we call OPSERP, but not yet vested, to be able to apply service credit as a judge member towards hours of service required for vesting in OPSERP pension program. It applies to judge whose effective date of retirement is on or after January 1, 2018. There are no amendments before you.
Thank you. And let's bring up Bruce Miller.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Bruce Miller. I'm senior counsel to the State Court Administrator here on behalf of the Oregon Judicial Department. Thank you for hearing this bill. Senate Bill 1546 was requested by Chief Justice Ballmer to address what we see as a vesting anomaly that's affecting at least one of our judges and will probably affect our ability to recruit judges who served in OPSERP before moving over to the judge retirement plan. What happens is that these judges, when you go up onto the bench, you are automatically placed into the judge retirement plan, so you leave whatever plan you were in before. Historically, if you were in Tier 1 or Tier 2, the time that you spent in the judge plan would count towards vesting requirements for Tier 1 and Tier 2. We learned in the fall of last year that wasn't true for OPSERP. We have at least one judge who in 2016 received her purse statement said she was vested in OPSERP, and then in 2017 PERS identified this issue. PERS brought the issue to our attention and included some suggested solutions to this and stated that it would not have any more than a minimal fiscal impact on them. We worked with PERS to come up with the wording that you see in the bill. It's intended to make sure that this judge and other judges in her situation will not have to forfeit her OPSERP retirement benefits simply because she became a judge and moved into the judge's retirement plan. And we also hope that this will, if we fix this, then it will not be a disincentive for other people who may want to go up onto the bench but would feel that they couldn't leave OPSERP because they would lose their benefit. The bill passed out of the Senate Workforce Committee on a 5-0 vote and passed unanimously on the Senate floor 27-0. Thank you.
Thank you. I was going to ask you if there was anybody opposed to this bill that you're aware of, but it doesn't sound like it.
Not that I know of, Mr. Chair.
I appreciate you being here to walk us through the background a little
Thank
bit.
You.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Miller? Not seeing any. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
With that, I'm going to close public hearing on Senate Bill 1546 and open a work session on Senate Bill 1546. Would you like to move this to the floor with a due pass recommendation?
Chair Holby, I would like to make the motion to move Senate Bill 1546 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bynum moves Senate Bill 1546 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Hurd.
I'd like to request a brief Republican caucus.
Okay. We'll stand at ease for 3 minutes. I'd like to bring the House Committee on Business and Labor back to order. There's a motion on the floor to send Senate Bill 1546 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Jessica, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Gold?
Yes.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Fahey?
Yes.
Representative Hurd?
Yes.
Representative Penner?
Aye.
Representative
Maybe I didn't give her the full 3 minutes. We'll excuse her for right now and bring her back and vote.
Aye.
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 And before we close that vote, let's have Representative Peluso vote. We're voting on Senate Bill 1546 with a due pass recommendation to the floor.
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. Senate Bill 1546, having received the required majority, is passed to the floor. And does anybody want to carry this bill? Representative Peluso, thank you. With that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 1546 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1534.
Mr. Chair and committee members, this measure directs DHS to collaborate with the Home Care Commission to establish training standards and procedures for testing home care workers and personal support workers. It requires DHS to provide training that's geographically accessible in all areas of the state, that's culturally appropriate for workers of all language abilities, and it considers the needs of each worker type. Requires DHS to strive to align training requirements with those who care providers in other long-term care settings, and specifies that for purposes of collective bargaining, a personal support worker may not be considered an employee of the state of Oregon, an area agency, a support service brokerage, or other public agency unless statutory exceptions apply. Establishes operative date January 1, 2020, and it directs DHS and the Commission to maximize federal funding available to pay for training until provisions repealed on December 31, 2020. There are no amendments. The fiscal statement has been issued. There's no revenue impact, and this came across the Senate on a vote of 27-0.
Thank you. Someone would like to bring up Scott Gallant, Nicole Palmentier. Hazelbacher?
Yes.
Nicole, I'm not sure what you did to your last name. And John Bartholomew.
Go ahead, John. Could
you just identify yourself for the record?
I was supposed to go last.
Okay. Chair Holvey, members of the committee, for the record, Nicole Palmentier, Hazelbacher. Here today on behalf of O4AD, the Oregon Association of Area Agencies on Aging and Disabilities. We're here to testify in support of Senate Bill 1534. We have worked very closely with SEIU and the Department of Human Services on this bill. We see great benefit in this. Our case managers, which are currently serving over 50% of the Medicaid long-term care caseload, have certainly felt even more stress in their work by having to provide support to home care workers with increased reporting requirements, increased complications or increased complexity in their current positions. We believe that by adding more training and by helping to continue to professionalize this job, it will continue to bring better services to those vulnerable individuals that we're serving, and we ask that you move the bill on out. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Scott Gallant, representing Oregon Support Services Association, which is comprised of 14 brokerages across Oregon, serving around 8,000 adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, living in their own or family homes in every community throughout the state. We're here to support Senate Bill 1534A. As you know, we have a system founded on the principles of self-determination. We would like to see training for personal support workers to foster independence and increase their ability to realize a full life for all people. Again, we would encourage the committee to support the legislation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there questions?
John hasn't testified.
Oh.
I'll be short.
You have a question?
Chair Holvey.
You have an answer. Go ahead.
Chair Holvey, members of the committee, for the record, I'm John Bartholomew, the Government Relations Director for AARP Oregon. I was asked to also just mention that Disability Rights Oregon submitted some written testimony we urge you to look at, and that Marcia Wentzel, who is a home care commissioner, was hoping to be here today, but she can't come because her home care worker is sick today. So I've also written or submitted written testimony. AARP Oregon supports this legislation because of its goal to improve the quality of the home care workforce. That alone is enough, but I just wanted to mention that we also deeply care about the family caregivers. Many of these home care workers are supporting an individual who also has a family caregiver. And those family caregivers are really the foundation of Oregon's long-term care system. We have about 470,000 of them in Oregon, and they provide over $5.7 billion worth of unpaid care each year. And the burden of family caregiving on them leads to physical stress, emotional stress, higher health care costs for family caregivers simply because they're caring for somebody else. And if we want to be able to help them out, having a home care worker who's good at what they do really takes a lot of the burden off of them. In 2016, we coordinated the Oregon Family Caregiver Respite Work Group. Had a whole ton of stakeholders involved in that. And one of the things that we heard, especially in rural Oregon, was that there was a shortage of quality home care workers who could come in and help out and provide some respite for those family caregivers. So because of that, and because this sets in motion process to improve the quality of the workforce, we urge your support for Senate Bill 1534A.
Thank you. Now, is there any discussion, any questions for this panel? Representative Barreto.
Mr. Chair, so in this, I think it requires a background check. Do they do drug testing too before they're at all? For any of these home care workers?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barreto, the answer is no, according to the expert sitting behind me.
Okay. You testified for the experts? Okay. Yes.
Any other questions, discussion? Seeing none, thank you very much for giving us some background on this bill.
Yeah, well, when you take out other people like that, but unless you cut him, you
know. Was there anyone else that wanted to testify on Senate Bill 1534?
I'm not good at taking care of old people.
Well, some people do.
Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1534A. And open a work session on Senate Bill 1534A.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1534A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bynum moves Senate Bill 1534A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the reason I asked that question, I think a lot of these home care workers work with elderly who have drugs like oxycodone available, and it just seems like it would be a prudent thing when they're caring for elderly that are on some of these opiates that that they be drug tested. So I will be yes on the vote, but just something for the record.
Yeah. Potentially another topic for another day. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Jessica, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative
Bluso?
Aye.
Representative
Tenemer?
Aye.
Representative Hurd?
Aye.
Representative
Staten? Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Bowles?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barreto?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Bynum?
Aye.
Chair Holvey? Aye. Senate Bill 1534A, having received the required votes, is passed. Volunteer to carry that bill. Okay. Representative Kinnemer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was going to give it to Evans, but since you volunteered. with that, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 1534A. And we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1551A. Jan, can you tell us exactly what this bill does?
Exactly. No, Mr. Chair, committee members. Senate Bill 1551 is the companion data breach bill. This committee had the hearing and moved to the Rules Committee, House Bill 4147. Senate Bill 1551 is very similar. It came across the Senate on a vote of 29-0. It modifies the Consumer Identity Theft Protection Act, provides no charge for security freeze, requires notice of breach within 45 days of discovery or the notification of the breach unless an exception exists, prohibits a person giving notice of a breach who then offers credit monitoring or identity theft prevention and mitigation services free of charge to a consumer from having to give the consumer, from requiring consumer give credit or debit card information or accept other fee for services as a condition for the free service. What we have been hearing is referred to as the upselling. It also allows additional services to be offered for a fee if the person notifies consumer separately, distinctly, clearly, and conspicuously that offer is for paid services, extends a prohibition to third-party contractors providing services, updates safeguards of data statutes to require certain existing actions be taken with reasonable regularity, maintains current definitions, includes combination of data that permits access to an account as part of protected personal information, clarifies that the person with the duty to give notice of breach is the person who owns licenses or has control over or access to the personal information that was subject of the breach, extends clarification into other provisions of the measure, and it adds a standard of reasonable for efforts to the safeguard the data. The committee on OLIS has a dash A9 and a dash A11. The A11, my understanding, is to replace the A9. The A11 enhances administrative, technical, and physical safeguards that are included in any information security program, and it clarifies who must provide notice to the consumer and, if required, to the Attorney General when a breach of security occurs. The A11, there's no revenue impact. We're waiting on the fiscal impact. We were told to expect it at about 2 o'clock. And again, this came across the Senate on a vote of 29-0.
Thank you. Cheryl Heemstra. Good afternoon, Cheryl. Thank you for being here. I know it's not the best of days, but as you were very involved in all of the discussions on both sides of the building, as we had sort of a work group that was jumping back and forth between chambers, we tried to coordinate that best we could with the Senate, and I think with your help we did. So just kind of, if you, Jan's given a pretty thorough sort of high-level view, if you could speak a little bit more specifically about the amendment that we're going to be proposing here.
Certainly. Chair Holvey, members of the committee, my name is Cheryl Heemstra. I'm the Deputy Legislative Director at the Oregon Department of Justice. Here today in support of Senate Bill 1551. The Attorney General would have been here. She sends her greetings. She's otherwise engaged. So this bill, just as a reminder, is the what we've been calling the Equifax bill. The Equifax data breach was quite large and put a lot of information at risk. So this is a kind of in response to that and the work we've been doing enforcing our data breach law. We got together a work group back in October and have been going back and forth with industry on language. That conversation continued, as the chair mentioned, on the Senate side and on the House side. And so we've been, we keep on talking with industry, and those talks are reflected in the dash 11, A11 amendments. Just as a note, the law already requires folks to give notice, so we're not changing that at all. What the language is it just clarifies how that's going to happen. So as an example, let's say we have a target, and we have a merchant service provider, the person that crunches their credit card data for them. The question came up, what happens if the credit card cruncher has their data breach? Who's responsible to give notice? In working with industry, we wanted to make it clear that Target is the one that should give notice in that instance, because they're the consumer-facing entity. Wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to a consumer if, you know, ABC number cruncher sent them a notice when really it's Target who they're going to recognize. So we were able to work that out with industry, and that's reflected in the Dash 11 amendments. I also want to mention there's been a lot of nervousness, I would say, about the updates to the technical safeguards. But I want to make something very clear on the record here, and something I was discussing with a lawyer, Jim Helpert, on Friday about this. Already in Oregon law, there's a balance set. So the law says you must have reasonable security requirements for personal information. Then it says, if you do all these administrative, physical, and technical safeguards, you're in compliance with the reasonableness standard. In other words, it's a safe harbor of what's all listed out there. And what we're updating is that safe harbor provision. A company could come up to us and say, look, we might not have done all these specific things that are in the safe harbor, but we think we're reasonable, and we would take a look at that. So that was the first point. The second point is there's always a concern about how this is going to affect small business, and I just want to point out what's already in existing law is that there's a mention of small business that says we need to take into account, if it is a small business, what would be reasonable for them to have reasonable security. We're not expecting a small business to have NSA level encryption, that kind of thing. So I want to mention that that's already an existing law, and we're not changing that at all. So that's the updates and the clarification for the Dash 11 amendment, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
So just to be clear, this committee heard 4148, which had the private, or 4147, excuse me, mm-hmm. which had the private right of action in it, and this particular version does not.
Chair Holvey, there is no private right of action in Senate Bill 1551.
So are there any other questions for Cheryl?
Is there any further testimony?
I've got one more person signed up.
Okay. But it's pretty much a consensus bill at this point.
I
guess that's a question, maybe.
Can't speak for everybody, but there's nobody signed up in opposition.
Thank you.
Yeah, Chair Holvey, Representative Kimmerer, we did talk to many folks from industry on the bill, and nobody's opposing it as far as I know. So.
Thank you.
Some of which are sitting here, so in the room.
Yes, I understand.
So. Thank you, Cheryl. I think that's it. Nobody has any questions for you. Thank you again for your work on behalf of the Department of Justice on these issues. Certainly.
Thank you.
Helpful. Up next, I have Charlie Fisher from Osberg.
Chair Holvey, members of the committee, my name is Charlie Fisher, director of Osberg, Oregon State Public Interest Research Group, and I'm here to just briefly state our support for this bill and for the Dash 11 amendments. I think what they do is they kind of strengthen language requiring sound data security practices, and I think what we like specifically is around monitoring and testing for these vulnerabilities. So I think it's the bill itself and this amendment are a big step forward for consumers. I would just say, from our perspective, really the best part of this, and really glad to see where this has ended up, is the free credit freezes for all consumers. I know kind of the impetus for this legislation was the Equifax data breach, which affected 1.7 million Oregonians, and just made it very clear, as I said to you around 4147, that it's just so important that consumers have access to these credit freezes and shouldn't have to pay to sometimes the same companies whose negligence led to their information being lost. And because of that, the fact that Oregonians will be able to have access to free credit freezes, thaws, and unfreezes is a really big step in the right direction. We also support the updates around notification so that when a company finds out about this, they can't just sit on it until however long they want to. So I guess long and the short of it is we really support this, urge you to support it, and would recommend adopting the Dash 11A amendments to just make it that much better. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Fisher? Appreciate you being here. Is there anyone else that wanted to testify on Senate Bill 1551? With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1551.
And Mr. Chair and committee members, the fiscal office just released the fiscal statement. It is a minimal expenditure impact.
Thank you. So instead of standing at ease, I guess I will open a work session on Senate Bill 1551A.
Chair Holby, I move to adopt all the amendments to Senate Bill 1551. That's what it says at the top of the paper.
It's the A11.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey.
That's good. That's close.
Whoa.
It says all here.
Can you restate that motion for the comfort and anxiety?
Should we start over? Please forgive me.
Wait a second.
But I agree, they aren't identified as
Chair Holby, I move to adopt the A11 amendments to Senate Bill 1551.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to remember that.
Well, this bill is not amazing, Mr. Chair, if I remember the history.
Nice try, right?
Representative Arnon moves to adopt the A11 amendments to Senate Bill 1551A. Is there any discussion? Not seeing any. Can you grab ball again? Well, I just want to thank all the stakeholders, both business and Department of Justice and the consumer advocates for following the bouncing ball along from both sides of the building here, though we might not have been perfectly aligned all the time. I think we got to a good spot. So I appreciate everybody's attention to it and patience as well. So I'm going to call on Jessica to give us a roll call vote, please.
This is on the amendment.
Oh, excuse me. Is there any objection to the A11 amendment? Seeing none, it's adopted. Now we'll have a motion to the floor as amended. Oh, yeah, sorry. Try that all again, though.
Chair Holby, I move Senate Bill 1551 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bynum moves Senate Bill 1551 as amended with the A11 amendment to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Yeah. Representative Doherty.
Do we need to discuss all the amendments or just the Dash
11? Let me look.
Is this all of the discussion?
I take that as a no.
That's a no.
Thank you very much.
As much as I'd like to have that all amendment in my pocket. So, Jessica, could we have a roll call vote before this disintegrates any further?
Yes.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative
Evans? Yes.
Representative
Fahey?
Aye.
Representative
Hurd?
Aye.
Representative Kenemer?
Aye.
Representative
Luso? Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barreto?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bynum?
Aye.
Chair
Holby. Aye. Bill 1551 having received the required votes to pass. And I will carry this one on the floor. And we will close the work session on Senate Bill 1551A. Committee, that completes our assigned work for the session.
Wow.
It's uncertain whether we'll have an informational meeting, but stay tuned if you're interested. That'll adjourn the House Committee on Business and Labor.
Please forgive me.